I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
How's it going? And welcome to JJ's Football Fix, episode 5, your home of everything EPL. We are back for another week, as we have done every week throughout the season. My name's Jordan, and to my left via Skype is Big Balls Jake White. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty pumped for another weekend of the EPL. A bit depressing a couple weeks ago with the week off, but we returned last week with the podcast as well as the EPL, and we're back in, and we've got the first time, it might be the second time of the season actually, with the Friday night fixture over in England. But before we get to anything to do with the upcoming fixtures for this weekend, we do have to do our normal review of the last week's games. Some pretty big games to talk about, especially the first one, which I'm sure probably was the most watched game of the season so far in terms of TV ratings, and a packed out Old Trafford. It's probably for the two teams that are the arguably be the two best teams so far this season leading up to the match. Plenty of people thought Man City wouldn't get the chocolates after Aguero's ban, which we didn't cover in the last one because I don't think it had been confirmed by that point. But yeah, Aguero out meant nothing as Man City romped to a 2-1 victory over their arch rivals Man United, giving United their first loss under Jose Mourinho. De Bruyne and Ian Acho, who are probably one of the best young players in the league, got the scoring underway. They were 2-0 up within 36 minutes before Ibrahimovic capitalised on a pretty shitty catch. A dropped catch, as that would normally be called, by debutante Bravo. It looked like United would come back into it in the second half. They played pretty well, replacing Mkhitaryan, and Lingard with Herrera and Rashford at the break worked wonders. But unfortunately, they couldn't get that second goal. They definitely threatened, but at the end of the day, Man City probably deservedly getting the win. I'm sure you watched this game, as I mentioned, probably everyone did. I'm a bit wondering what your thoughts would be, considering, you know, probably two of the best teams, and it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, well, I was surprised because I predicted a 2-1 United win, just because Aguero was out, but it was the other way around. I reckon City deserved it. United did have a fair amount of chances in the second half, but so did City, really. City looked fantastic on the counter-attack in the second half, and they did well to hold on to their lead. And credit where credit's due, John Stones was superb holding up players like Ibrahimovic. But it just proves how good City really are this year, to be honest. They lose probably their best player, and they still beat their title rivals and Manchester rivals 2-1 away from home as well. So they're looking probably the early favourites for the title, in my opinion. That's a huge win for them, and like I said, I reckon they deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, I think, as you touched on, they definitely look the early favourites. For me, the only other team that can really contest is Chelsea at the moment. Can go that longevity of the season, or longevity, I'm not sure what the word is there, but
United is still definitely probably, I still think, the second best in the competition, but I think this will be a bit of a reality check for them, especially after what happened this morning as well in the Europa League.
Yes, and we will touch on that pretty shortly. Statistically, it was Man City's day with possession, having 61% possession, having that 3 extra shots, but all the other stats are pretty similar. And as we mentioned, their second half by United was pretty good, but not good enough. On to probably wasn't a very well documented game, but West Ham versus Watford, quite possibly the game of the week. For those that don't know, we will recap the game. Antonio opened the scoring after Dimitri Payet. I think the first one was a corner. I'm not too sure, but I definitely know the second one, a Payet assist, was literally probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen. That Rabona cross back to Antonio at the back post. But from then, they Watford ended up scoring four goals and winning 4-2 with Garlo, Deeney, Kapuwe, who somehow keeps scoring, and Holabas getting on the score sheet. And I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the game, but I watched the highlights of the game and watched the extended highlights, so it shows all the chances and most of the dominance, and you can tell which team was better. And Watford looked like they were the better team for the most part of the game, apart from, obviously, the first, you know, half an hour when West Ham were 2-0 up. From then on, it was all Watford. And credit to them, they haven't really set the league on fire so far this season, and they were chasing their first win, and they come out and beat West Ham away 4-2. It's especially on the comeback, it's something different, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I was pretty happy with this because this was the game that I chose to watch. So I was pretty rapt when it ended up having six goals in it. Like you said, West Ham got off to a pretty good start going up 2-0, but I was getting flashbacks from Liverpool versus Arsenal earlier in the season when Watford scored four goals in 22 minutes and Liverpool did very similar in week one. And Watford, like I said with Liverpool in week one, they honestly could have gone on and scored five, six or seven in that 22-minute patch. They were honestly phenomenal. But in saying that, I think West Ham were the better team. Watford had a fair few chances, but that was all in that 22-minute patch, really. West Ham, in the other 70 or so minutes, were pretty good and pretty unlucky, but look, if you're not going to... The mistake that Collins was making in the first half. if I was a West Ham fan, I would not be happy with them at all. The first one, you can't do much about. It's just an unlucky deflection. But then the second one, he decided to get in the way of the keeper, and then Deeney put it top bins. Watford, you can't take 3 points away from Watford, obviously, but I think West Ham were a little bit unlucky, especially with those mistakes in defence as well.
Got to say, it's the Enner Valencia effect, I think. Just since he's left the club, they've lost all their games. So, a whole one. Yeah. He would have been a great option off the bench, I can assure you. on to the next game. Stoke Shitty, as I'm going to call them right now, because they got absolutely pummeled by Tottenham Hotspur 4-0. Tottenham haven't been the most overwhelming team so far this season, but they definitely turned it on here. And goals to Heung-min Son, as is normally pronounced, scored twice. Dele Alli scoring, and Harry Kane, your mate, scored his first goal in the season. Off the mark. He scored his first goal in the Premier League this season, continuing his form from every season he's played in that he has yet to score in August. And the first game of September that he plays, he scores. Just a little fun fact for you.
There you go. You take it over my statistics.
obviously, neither of us watched this game. As you stated, West Ham and Watford was your preferred choice, and I fell asleep, I'm pretty sure. So,
watch the highlights, and Tottenham dominated. Stoke, look, we saw with Stoke when Everton beat them 1-0 in the game week 3, I think it was. We should have beaten them by a lot more. This game reminded me of it. Stoke were horrendous, to be honest. They took 16 shots and only got two on target. They had Boney playing and still couldn't do anything. They look absolutely fucking shithouse this season.
And they continue their inspiring form of being winless from four games. So it's good to see from a great side like Stoke City that they're performing well in the Premier League. But on to the next game here, and we've got an interesting tussle between Middlesbrough and Crystal Palace. Christian Benteke scoring his first goal for the club early on in the match before Daniel Ayala scored for Middlesbrough, and then Wilfred Zaha scoring straight after halftime to give Crystal Palace their first win of the season, I think. Yes, it is.
Yep.
Statistically, very, very even. Middlesbrough enjoying just slightly more possession, both having the same amount of shots on goal and corners. So, a pretty even game. Middlesbrough obviously performing pretty well in the first 3 weeks, so they'll be pretty unhappy, I would say, to lose that home game. They could have jumped up to sixth position on the table ahead of Liverpool. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the chocolates, but good under Crystal Palace, their new signing Benteke, performing well.
I've been saying in the first few weeks, Palace needed to make some signings, especially some attacking signings, or else they would be going down, and they signed Benteke, and he scored in his first game for them. So, clearly, Alan Pardew was listening to the podcast, and they got 3 points.
That's pretty stock standard what you said. That basically sums up everything. moving on to Burnley versus Hull City. Or Hull Shitty. No, I won't say that, because they did not lose. Stephen Defour, their record signing for Burnley, scoring his first goal for the club. Brilliant goal. Before Robert Snodgrass fired home a free kick from 25 yards in the 5th minute of stoppage time to break Burnley hearts. I'm not going to say anything on this game. I didn't watch it, but I'm looking at the stats and just trying to sum it up. They both had the same amount of shots. Hull having more possession, Burnley failing more. Hull being the early title contenders after their opening day win against Leicester, have suffered their first draw of the season. So, a little interesting stat for you. Ryan Mason made his Hull City debut.
I didn't watch this game, obviously. I watched the highlights.
Did you watch? I don't think we've talked about which game you did watch.
Fuck off. I watched all the highlights, and this was the shortest highlight package, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory why. But both goals are pretty good. Other than that, I steered well clear of this game.
Yes, and what a game it was. On to AFC Bournemouth versus West Bromwich Albion. Callum Wilson did get the winner for Bournemouth in the 80th minute. Actually, it's the 79th minute, my bad. Totally contradicting itself on this app. After Adam Smith, I think it is, the wingback, just smacked it into the middle, and Wilson got a little flick onto the ball into the bottom corner to score his first goal in a bloody long time. Bournemouth enjoying the most of the shooting statistics and the ball possession, just showcasing why Wilshere chose to go to Bournemouth. They do beat teams like West Brom 1-0, and is their first win of the season. So they've got themselves out of that relegation scrap with such teams like Stoke, Sunderland and Southampton. And they'll be buzzing to be in 14th position. Jake.
Yeah, like I've said with every other game, I did not watch this game.
Sorry, which game did you watch?
Fuck you. I don't know what to say about this game. All I know from this game is that it was Callum Wilson's first goal in like 13 games or something. Is that like his first goal since he got injured last season? He was my choice of fantasy player last season, and not this season too much.
Cheers, Jeff.
Bournemouth got 3 points. Fair play. Yep.
As we can see here, the Sadio Berahino started up front for West Brom with Nasser Chadli on the right. Chadli making his debut, obviously, for West Brom, and Berahino having absolutely no relevance for what I was saying.
I don't know how he's still at West Brom.
He's a gem of a player. Arsenal versus Southampton. And Southampton took that early lead through a Petacek own goal. I do believe he saved it, an absolute beauty of a save, and ended up hitting him in the back of the head and bouncing in. which was unfortunate for the goalkeeper from Arsenal, before Laurent Koscielny somehow managed to score a fantastic bicycle kick, I'm pretty sure it was, in the 29th minute before, of course, Arsenal get that 91st minute penalty that ended up being converted in the 94th minute for some reason, and Santi Cazorla winning the game for Arsenal. It's not very convincing from Arsenal, in my opinion. A team that almost won the Premier League last season. They did come second, albeit by 10 points. Off to an okay start this season. They've won two out of their four, but have not been convincing in any of the games they've played, in my opinion, except for last week. Well, not last week, just before the international break, where they beat Watford. I think it was 3-1 or 4-1. I can't remember.
3-1.
Yeah, they looked pretty convincing in that game. But apart from that, you know, pretty staggered.
Well, they got away with it. It was a very harsh decision to give it a penalty, to be honest. I don't think there was a penalty at all. But they also, Southampton did get pretty lucky with their goal. But, yeah, I can't say much on this game. I didn't really... I didn't watch it. but, yeah, nah, Arsenal... They'd always do this at the start of the season, sort of like they pick up 3 points, like the wins that they probably don't deserve, and it helps them later on in the year to get Champions League spots. But yeah, no, that's all they're really doing right now. They're not impressing me. They had a good period against Watford of like half an hour. They scored 3 goals, but I reckon that's the only period where they've really played impressive football so far this season.
Yeah, and you can't disagree with that. So it's good. Good analysis by you. On to the final game of Sunday, which was Liverpool v Leicester City. Or should we call them Leicester Shitty? Because they got pumped. Firmino, however you pronounce it, scored in the 13th minute from a James Milner pass. In the 31st minute, Sadio Mane, turning out to be some signing by Liverpool, scored in the 31st minute to go 2-0 up. Jamie Vardy latched onto some sort of pass by Lucas Leiva to capitalise in the 38th minute. before Adam Lallana restored parity to give Liverpool the 31 lead in the 56th minute, and Firmino rounded out the rout.
31 lead.
Should I say that?
Yeah.
for the 31 lead, before Robert Firmino rounded out the rout to give Liverpool a 4-1 victory against Leicester City. Onto the statistics, and Liverpool completely dominated. It's in possession, only having the 3 extra shots on goal, which goes to show not too much, because Liverpool scored 4 and Leicester scored 1. But corners, this is the interesting statistic I want to touch on here, Jake. Liverpool had just the 1 corner compared to Leicester's 7. Does that show any sort of dominance for Leicester?
In the corner statistic, yeah, it does.
I'm glad we're on the same page here. I don't know if you watched the game. It was at a different time to West Ham Watford, as
we
all
know. It was, yeah.
So I just want to touch on this game with you, because I didn't watch it. As I can confirm, I was asleep for the second time this podcast. I will confirm it. So, Jake, what are your thoughts?
I don't really want to say it, but Liverpool are fucking good.
No, I doubt it. I doubt that's the case. They're not a very good team.
They're very fucking good. Yeah, I reckon they're in a good they've got a good chance of Champions League this year, to be honest. They played some really fucking good football. Yeah, they got the 4-1 win. I don't really want to sit here and talk up Liverpool too much, but they fully deserved the 4-1 win against last season's champions.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, and football's a funny game, so they'll probably get relegated. On to the next game, and we have Swansea...
It's all swings and roundabouts.
Swansea City 2, Chelsea 2. Diego Costa opening the scoring in the 18th minute. 18th minute. A good goal from outside the box, I do believe. Probably not. Gylfi Sigurdsson then was brought down by Thibaut Courtois to level the game from the spot. before Leroy Fur completed the rout. The comeback, sorry. to go 2-1 up. And what a turnaround it was. They held on until the 81st minute when Diego Costa come up again with a terrifically executed bicycle kick. I'm not reading this off anywhere. He thundered that volley into the net from close range. Albeit there was a slight deflection, but it was a fantastic strike from the
Where
Spanish
are you reading
striker.
This? Chelsea, very unlucky this game. 28 shots to 6.
And well, they said 19.
Well, they had 28 shots and 7 on target, apparently.
All right, yep.
Nah, unlucky Chelsea. They will rue this day come end of the season.
Hope so. They have looked good this season, but Costa is having a good season, in my opinion. That's just me, though. I mean,
he's replicating his season one form, you could say.
You see, I want to get him in fantasy, but I don't because I feel like he's going to get red cards as soon as I do. So
and get suspended for 4 weeks.
Yep, and then it'll just be pointless. On to the last game of the game week, and we have Sunderland 0, Everton 3. Shitty land, as I will call them. No, I won't say anything about them. Talking about, you know, bursts of games where teams completely dominate. You mentioned Liverpool, you mentioned Watford. Everton scoring all three of their goals in 11 minutes, all from that one man up front, Romelu Lukaku. Got on the end of two crosses, one from Idrissa Gana-Gueye, who is probably the buy of the season so far in the entire Premier League, and probably the world, to be honest. Yannick Bolasie, another good ball into the box for Lukaku to head home in the back post before some beautiful football led to a Kevin Morales through ball, and Lukaku easily dispatching past a absolutely stunned Pickford in goals, who was actually pretty decent. I didn't watch the game. This is actually the first game of the season I haven't watched of Everton. I was asleep.
You love your sleep.
But I have watched the highlights, all 5, 10 and 20 minute highlights, and can confirm that Everton, despite getting out of the way of a bullet, aka dodging a bullet in the first half, thanks to a Jermaine Defoe miss.
Getting out of the way.
Everton looked on the money for the victory. They had 17 shots on goal to 6. That's what my app says, not yours. And the ball possession statistics read Everton at 68% possession. Same amount of corners, the all-important corner stats. Only the one offside throughout the entire game going to Everton. So I guess you could say we had a bit of dominance up front going a bit early. But, you watched the game. I didn't.
I was very happy.
I was about to say I was asleep. I mean, dreadful.
We got away with it in the first half, as you said. We got out of the way of a bullet.
I think you mean dodge, Jake. Come on.
No, we deserve the 3 points, but at the same time, we had a horrendous first half. But really, Lukaku should have scored 6 or 7 goals in the second half, but I'll take his 3, and I'm pretty happy with a 3-0 away win. A clean sheet away from home is always good, and to get 3 goals is pretty decent as well.
And onwards and upwards go the Toffees. That wraps up the Premier League for the last week. I will just quickly run the rule over the statistics that matter the most, which includes the table. We have Manchester City clear out in front by 2 points, winning all 4 of their games so far. Chelsea and Everton, sitting second and third respectively.
Gotta win the league.
With 3 wins and a draw from their opening 4 games. Man United sitting fourth, before Tottenham round out the top 5, the only other undefeated team apart from Man City, Chelsea and Everton. Liverpool, Arsenal and Hull City go down to 8th, Middlesbrough in 9th, Watford with their resounding comeback in 10th, followed by Palace, West Brom, Swansea, Bournemouth, Burnley and Leicester, all on 4 points. Leicester struggling early on, just the 4 points in 16th position. West Ham, another team that's just struggling so far this season, sitting in 17th position with just a solitary win so far. I can't remember who that was against. I'm going to say it was a bad team. Bournemouth at home, 1-0. I'm pretty sure that's when they scored like the 80th minute or something. Southampton in the relegation zone on 2 points before Sunderland and Stoke have the single point to round out the table in the Premier League. Onto the top goal scorers, although it really doesn't matter yet. But Diego Costa is currently in the lead on 4 goals. He is joint by Mikel Antonio and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who continues to inspire his Man United teammates on 4 goals. Etienne Capoue currently sits in 4th on the Golden Boot, and he hadn't scored a goal before this season, so that is a big effort. On 3, he is joined by Leroy Fer, who's having a great season. Lukaku was somehow equal 4th on the Golden Boot after 1 good game. And Aguero also on 3. Plenty of players sit on 2 and 1. In regards to the assists, Negredo, Martial, Eriksen, and Payet, I don't know what the fuck I said that. Payet, all on 2 assists. Payet, first game back, and he's already got 2 assists. I think he's going to win the Dishmaster this season. So, yeah, that's the Premier League. I will quickly mention just how the English teams went in the European competitions. There was, I think, 4 or 5 games from English teams. And we'll start with the Champions League, the all-important Champions League. And it was the other night. I can't even remember when these were played. I think it was Wednesday. I'll just quickly mention Barcelona beat Celtic 7-0. Lol. But PSG beating Arsenal. Oh, no, sorry. Drawing with Arsenal 1-1. Cavani opening the scoring early on before Alexis Sanchez equalised in the 78th minute. Manchester City beating Mönchengladbach 4-0 after he got postponed a day. Aguero scoring a hat-trick and Iheanacho rounding out the scoring. He just continues to perform Iheanacho. It's going to not be long before he's starting games alongside Aguero, you'd think. Just the class he's been. Just a quick result here that I'm just going to get angry at is Juventus drawing with Sevilla, which lost me my multi. Thanks. Whilst Leicester City in their first ever European game getting a 3-0 result against Club Brugge away from home. All Brighton, Mahrez. Mahrez again from the penalty spot. Rounding out that victory for them in a group which they probably should progress in. The only other teams in the group are Copenhagen and Porto. As we quickly, ever so quickly, Jake, have a look at Europa League. Being the top blokes that we are. What was the date that they played? 16th of September.
This morning.
Feyenoord beating Manchester United. Tony Valbuena, we're both a fan of this young centre midfielder. He's an absolute star on FIFA and he's a star in real life, scoring the only goal against Manchester United to send them to their first loss in Europe this season under Mourinho. So a pretty average week for United, it must be said. The other game...
It must be said.
I don't even think... Yes, there was. There was one other English team involved in European football tonight, this morning, sorry, and it was Southampton 3-0 over Sparta Prague. Charlie Austin went nuts and scored twice in the first 27 minutes. Good on him before Jay Rodriguez rounded out the scoring in the 90th minute to give Southampton the 3-0 victory. Pretty good games there, I'm going to say. Not that it even matters because this is an EPL podcast, but I just thought I'd throw in a bit of a Europa League twist to it with a bit of Champions League flavouring. look at me go, Jake. Look at
Would you
me
like
go.
To describe that flavour to a student?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to make a joke here. Why did the tomato blush?
Why?
Because he saw the salad dressing. I'm sure he'd blush more if he saw the salad undressing.
I'm so concerned.
Yeah, look. All right, on to this week in the Premier League as we enter the 29th and a half minutes mark of the podcast. Or probably 30 when I put the introduction in. We move on to tomorrow morning, or if you're listening in England, which you probably aren't, but if you are, tonight's games. Game between Chelsea and Liverpool. I don't know why I gave an accent for that.
You've actually been talking for the last 5 minutes. I've not said a word.
Hey, Jake, what game did you watch last weekend, mate?
Not West Ham Watford.
Are you sure? It was a 6-goal classic. You missed a good one. Chelsea versus Liverpool replaced that early time slot for tomorrow night's game. Quick tip from you, Jake. Chelsea currently sitting in a good, say, a steady position at second on the table. Yep. While Liverpool currently sitting sixth. What are your thoughts? The game being played at Stamford Bridge, of course.
We'll go 2-1 to Chelsea.
Hope
I can hope I'm right as well. I think they're the better team, but Liverpool don't mind an away game against a big team, so you can never know.
Oh yeah.
What?
I don't even know, to be honest. I'm absolutely cooked. I'm going to go for a draw. Yeah, I just think there's going to be that burst that Liverpool like to produce.
What is that burst?
A bit of semen. I'm going to go for a draw.
Yep.
Anything from 0-0 to about 4-4.
He's fucking hoping it's fucking anywhere between 0-0 and 4-4.
It's 5-5. I'm absolutely done. I'm quitting the podcast. Replacing with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I don't even know.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, special guest.
The JJ Football's Fix, hosted by Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Let's fucking move on.
To West Brom versus West Ham, the teams out west of England. Bit of a recap on their seasons. West Brom sitting 12th. West Ham sitting in 17th position. West Ham need the win, but they won't get it because I think West Brom will hold on for a draw against West
Just
Ham.
Just quietly, West Ham is the furthest from the west of England possible. Just thought I'd add that in there.
They are in London, so...
And they're east of London.
Yep. That's totally unfortunate for anything I've said.
West Ham will fuck them.
Yeah, I'll pay to watch that. I reckon West Brom will get the draw back. Man City, or should we say Man Shitty.
Shut the fuck up.
Versus Bournemouth at Etihad Stadium in Melbourne, Australia. Man City, 4 wins from 4. Bournemouth, 14th. Yeah, look, I'm just going to put it out there. I think Man City's going to win.
I reckon City will win probably about 6 or 7-0.
Yep, just like Barca beat Celtic, 7-0.
Aguero's going to score 3 or 4 again.
Isn't Aguero still suspended?
Oh, I've got no idea. How long wouldn't he be suspended for Champions League too, then?
No, in the league. He's still got this week and next week, yeah, I think.
Well, there you go. It's going to be 4-0 then.
Ian Archer bought into my fantasy this week. Just saw a bit of a POD.
POD?
Player of difference. Point of difference.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, go on.
Not a pod.
Exactly what I thought it was.
On to Leicester City versus Burnley. Will Leicester City finally resurrect their season after a stumbly start?
Let's hope not.
I hope they win. I think Burnley's a nice team, but Leicester City are Leicester City. I think they're going
to win. They're just nicer?
Yeah, slightly nicer. Bit more ruthless around the edges. Going dry.
I think Leicester may struggle to back up from an away leg in Belgium, and I think Burnley will hold until a draw.
Hmm. Very nice. On to Hull Shitty versus Arsenal.
Arsenal 4-0.
At the K-Com Stadium. That's not the KC Stadium. It has K-Com. What's going on there? Yeah, I think Arsenal will win. I think Arsenal, the quality outfit that they are, will produce a good result. Everton versus Middlesbrough.
Turn.
And at the Good Eye Sun Park, Everton are defeated so far in the season. Middlesbrough performing above expectations. I'm going to go for an Everton win to continue their solid start of the season, Jake.
Everton are what this season?
Undefeated? Is that what I said?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear that once more. We'll win 3-0.
What game did you watch last weekend, Jake?
Everton Middlesbrough.
Oh, yeah, last weekend.
We've got leg two coming up now.
I like legs. All right, Watford versus Manchester United. at the Vicarage Road Stadium on Vicarage Road. Watford coming off a brilliant result against West Ham, as we've clearly stated, and Jake knows very well. Manchester United coming off a brilliant week where they lost two games, one in Europe, one in the Premier League.
Beautiful, wasn't it?
I think Watford will win.
I think United will bounce back and win 2-0.
Conflicting reports here indicate that Manchester United may win. Crystal Palace, the Palace of Crystals, versus Stoke City, even though they're the shitty one.
That's Selhurst Park, not Bet365 Stadium.
No, it is the away thank league goodness for that. Crystal Palace, good money at $2 here on Bet365 for... Oh no.
Stoke. You're just fucking spit water everywhere.
Pretty good odds.
Oh, he shanked it.
Pretty good odds. Yep, we'll move on. I think Palace will win.
Yeah, I think Stoke will draw.
But Palace won't draw. At the same time on Sunday night here, Southampton take on Swansea City.
Southampton.
The stadium here is St. Mary's Stadium, so we're just going to be played at the cathedral, in the cathedral here.
Dead banter.
Southampton yet to win a game this season. I believe that will change with a victory against Swansea.
I agree with you. I think they will win 2-1.
It's so good when we agree. I love it.
It is, isn't it? It's great.
On to the last game of the game week, and it's a huge tie here between Tottenham and Sunderland. At White Hart Lane, the home of Real Madrid.
What?
I don't know. Tottenham undefeated this season. Will that change? 50-50 here against Sunderland, who are yet to win a game.
You're about to shit myself.
Tottenham Hotspur paying $1.33 for those wondering. Mike Dean will be in charge of the tie.
Fucking shut up. Tottenham will win about 3 or 4-0.
Yeah, look, I'm probably opting for a similar result. Don't get me wrong, Jake. It's going to be a big tussle. That rounds out our Premier League.
Your noises in this podcast have been out of this world.
Thanks. That rounds out the Premier League review, preview, and a preview. Yep. Whatever word that wasn't a word.
The preview.
The preview. I was trying to say a bit of a taste of Europe with a side dressing of Champions League.
Wouldn't that be a bit of taste of Champions League with a side dressing of Europa League? Because there's more teams in Champions League than what there is in Europa League.
Brought to you by Bet365 here today at JoJo's Football Fix.
We should get a sponsor.
Bet365 would be absolutely loving us and our 20-odd viewers per episode. Just by the way, those that are listening... Thanks for your continued support of the podcast.
If you're still here by now.
Yeah, well,
they probably clicked off at your joke about the dressing.
A little salad undressing would be a lot funnier. But that's been all we have time for today. We'll be back next week, of course, for another episode of JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. Don't forget to click that follow button on SoundCloud. If we want us to get on iTunes, we probably will at some point in the future when one Jay Gifkins can figure it out. but until then, Jake, I hope you had a fantastic time.
I've had a beautiful time.
That's what I like to hear. That's some good team chemistry right now. FIFA 17 comes out in 2 weeks, by the way. Just another sponsor. We will talk to you next week.
Everton Magic. I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?